Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to Galatians chapter 3 to start out with. And, you know, I just want to share some things with you. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 3. And I want to talk about the... This is what I'm going to talk about this morning, the Holy Spirit and faith. The Holy Spirit and faith. Now, and how, you know, his ministry, you know, operates, you know, because of our faith. Because of our faith. And, we should know, you know, people say, well, you know, God just does what he wants to do. If God just did what he wanted to do, things wouldn't be in such a mess. Now, you know, there is a day coming when the Lord's going to have his way. But to say that he is in everybody's life today, and, you know, that's just way out of bounds with the Bible. Right. Amen?
Amen?
You know, because there are ultra, you know, sovereignists in the church that think everything happens is just the will of God for your life. Well, that's baloney. I said, that's baloney. You know how I know that's baloney? Because I've done things in my life to screw things up, and I know God didn't have anything to do with it. He tried to tell me not to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't buy that one. But yet, you know, I mean, he is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he gave us authority to, you know, do things that we want to do, whether it's good for us or not.
Yeah.
That's part of just, you know, him giving us a free will. You know, there's times, you know, I think I wish I didn't have one. But I do. Paul even said, you know, Paul, you know, I mean, he probably pretty good man to listen to, right? Apostle Paul? Yeah, he said himself, he said, there's times that I do things I don't want to do. Didn't he? He said that. You know, he said, there's times that I'm doing things I don't want to do, but it's that you know, that flesh, it trips me up, see. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, he wants to come and help us, but he's got to have our faith. Amen?
Right.
Let's go here to Galatians chapter 3. Are you there?
Yes.
Verse 2, Paul said to the Galatians, he said, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" Now, you know, see, I thought about this. You know, as a church, we need to stay in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, you can get where you depend on fleshly things, you know, and they might work for a while, but they won't produce the anointing.
Right.
What I mean, they might work for a while. They may produce some visible results for a little bit, but that's going to come to an end. Amen. You know, there are certain marketing groups that churches use now. I'm not necessarily saying all of it's wrong, but what happened to the Holy Spirit's power? Amen? But there are certain marketing groups, you know. I won't mention his name, but a very dear, close friend of mine, you know, he pastors a decent-sized church, you know, and they wanted to come and talk to him about Christian marketing group, about how to grow his church even bigger and his ministry even bigger. It was already decent size, but, you know, and it's like, he was like, "No, I don't want that," you know. But, you know, finally he said, "Well, okay, I'll let you come and talk to me. You know, no promises about anything, but if you want to come and talk, come and talk." And so they advised him, you know, quit using so much scripture, and quit mentioning Jesus so much in your books. You know, he basically showed them where the door was at. You know, "I don't think I need you." Amen. But they say, you know, people don't like Scripture. Well, no, listen now, listen. People don't like Scriptures. You know, worldly people don't like Scriptures. Carnal Christians don't like Scriptures. But the Holy Ghost likes Scriptures. And God's people that are hungry like Scriptures. A pastor said, he said, "I had this couple in my church for, I think he said, 16 years. He said, they left my church. And he said, they told me the reason we're leaving is because you preach out of the Bible too much. Well, you know what I say to people like that, don't you? Bye. Bye. I love you. I'll pray for you if I think about you. And, well, you know what I'm saying. Because some people, will you pray for me every day? Well, I don't know. I might not. Well, I'm not going to lie. I might not. I might. If I think of you, I might. But, you know, I mean, there's other things I pray about. You know, you might get in there. Now, y'all get in there generically. What do you mean? I pray for the whole church every day. You know, I pray for all in our partners in ministry. But, you know, I'm just talking about spending specific, you know, 20, 30 minutes praying for you. Maybe I might. I don't know. I might, but might not. But, well, don't be offended. Did you pray 30 minutes for me yesterday? Well, then take that. Don't give me that. You didn't even pray for me 30 minutes. Have you prayed 30 minutes for me this year? Wonder why I have struggles. So, how many, let's just be real, right? You know, yeah, let's don't be phony. Let's be real. People ask my wife, will you pray for me? She's bolder than I am sometimes. She just says, no. I mean, if you want me to pray right now, but if you want me to include you on my prayer list and I pray for you every day, well, no, probably not. Might not do that, but might not. See, some of you are getting offended already. Do you pray for everybody every day? Do you know how many people that we run into all the time in the ministry? Of course we don't pray for everybody 30 minutes every day. Amen. We do when the Lord brings them to our mind, you know. Well, I always pray for the church. I confess things over you guys every day. I confess you have divine wisdom, divine anointing, divine favor, divine guidance, divine power, divine protection, divine healing health, divine prosperity. I confess these things over you. See? So there's some generic things, but you know what I'm saying. So I don't know why I got off on this, but anyway, the church, you know, this pastor said they left his church because he preached the word too much. See, so many churches are going back to the flesh. They may have began in the spirit, but they're back in the flesh. Now, I know this because I've been preaching for a long time. I mean, a long time now. And I've been to churches. Some of the churches I've been to in my beginning days are still there. And some of those were powerhouses in the day. And now, you know, they've listened to people, you know, hey, you need to make your praise and worship more hip. You need to get a fog machine because you can't get any real glory. And so, you know what I'm saying? You need to have the lights just right. Make this look like a nightclub and people will come. How many understand that we don't need that? We just need the glory of God. We don't need fake stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, so some churches, it's just almost like a concert now. It's like there's no anointing. There's no glory. It's just entertaining, but that's not what I want. I don't know what you want, but I want God's presence. Amen. So have you begun? Did you begin in the spirit? Are you going to be completed in the flesh? Well, of course not. Have you suffered so many things, verse 4, in vain, if it be yet in vain? In other words, you've been through some persecution over what you believed here. And is this all in vain? Are you going to go leave what you got to finish in the flesh? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay in the spirit the best I know how. He therefore, verse 5, that ministers to you the spirit, or some translations say supplies to you the spirit, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or notice this, by the hearing of faith. So how does the spirit's ministry operate? It operates by faith. Everybody say the hearing of faith. The Holy Ghost wants to hear faith. He wants to hear faith out of us. Now, go to John. We'll kind of lay a foundation here, and then we'll get into some things. John chapter 14, go there. So you see that Paul said, look, he that comes among you and been ministering in the church at Galatia, and the Spirit of God's been moving, how did he do that? Did he do it by the law? Or did he do it by faith? Is by faith. See? So the Spirit of God wants to hear faith.
That's right.
He moves by faith.
That's right.
Anybody remember what the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is? Now I wonder, now listen now, I wonder who puts that sword in his hand in your life. Think about it. if it's all Him, then all we got to do is lay on the couch, watch football all day if you're a guy, watch Shopping Channel if you're a lady. That's just generic, you know. There's some guys probably watch Shopping Channel and are worse than women are with it. And there's some women that love football. Amen. Some do. Some do. Yeah, Shelby does. Amen. Well, you know what I'm saying? If it was the Spirit of God doing all this without anything on our part, we could just lay on the couch and just, you know, drink Dr. Pepper and do nothing all day long. And He's out there taking care of things. Well, I think we're smart enough to know that if he's not doing that. We put the sword of the Spirit in His hand by confessing the Word of God over our life. Amen. 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 Over our situations. You got to give Him something to fight with. See, even in the beginning, the Bible says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What was He doing? See, when He heard the word light, let there be light, He went to work. He went to work. Hallelujah. So He had to hear something, didn't He? You know, you don't just think something, you say something. So you don't just defeat the devil by what you believe only. You know, when the devil came to Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God, Jesus didn't just say, you know, I believe I am. No, He said, it's written. He told him what's written. And the Bible says the devil left Him for a more opportune time. I don't think he ever got it, do you? I don't think he ever slipped up on Jesus. How about that? Amen? So, you know, we have to understand that it's not just the Holy Spirit just doing these things apart from us. The Bible says the Spirit of God helps us with our infirmities. Help means that somebody else is involved. Amen. I hired in when I was young, you know, as a helper, you know, for this company, a helper. Well, that meant I was going to help. But literally, I hope you hear this because I don't want this out of balance. Okay, I don't want this out of balance, but I hope you hear what I say. I was the helper. I did what they told me to do, which was in line with the purposes of their company. You understand? All right, now let's go here to John. Did you find that? All right, John, come on. John chapter 14. John 14, are you with me now?
Yes.
Verse 16, he said, Jesus said this, I'll pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Now the word comforter there is a Greek word, and it actually, the New King James says helper. You could use a lot of different words to describe what this means in the Greek, but the New King James uses the word helper, I'll give you another helper. Hallelujah. So, you know, thank God for another helper. And that He may abide with you forever. So helper, once again, what does a helper do? It helps. It doesn't just do it all. A helper doesn't just do it all. A helper comes to help. And so the Holy Spirit's come to help us. You know, as soon as we get born again, this is the good thing. As soon as we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Right? Now we know, we believe this, the Bible teaches this, and I, you know, from the Word, that there's another dimension after we get born again where the Spirit comes upon us. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's an endowment with power to be a witness. See? So there's more there. But yet, when we get born again, even if we haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us to help us. Hallelujah. What's He going to help you do? He's going to help you do whatever you need to do, praise God, that's in line with the will of God, right? You know, I remember as a young pastor, you know, I was just first starting out as a young pastor. I was driving down the highway. It was in the morning, and I was driving down the highway. And as I was driving, an ambulance was coming my direction. And as this ambulance got to me, I heard, it wasn't audible, but I just heard on the inside of me, that's Sister Madge. Well, it's not going to hurt to turn around and follow the ambulance. So I thought, well, you know, We'll check this out. I don't know about you, but I'm still learning to hear from the Holy Ghost. I still haven't perfected it. I still sometimes miss it, but sometimes hit it. Hallelujah. I like the hit it part. But, you know, I've got to be honest with you. There's times that I thought that was God, and it turns out, you know, listen, it's just good to follow the Lord, you know. We judge everything by the Word first before we follow anything, right? It's aligned with up with the Word, you know. But anyway, this wasn't going to hurt anything. I thought I heard inside of me, that's Sister Madge. Well, I don't know who's in an ambulance. It's just an ambulance. How many see ambulances all the time? Sure. You know, I hear them. You know, just where I'm at, you can hear ambulances and fire trucks. So anyway, so I thought, well, you know, I turn around, I follow the ambulance to the hospital, you know. And they pull up, you know, in the emergency, you know, drive-in area. And I'm there, and I'm waiting for them to open those doors. They open those doors, pull a gurney out. Guess who's on the gurney? Who's on the gurney? Of course it's Sister Madge. I wouldn't be telling this story if it wasn't her. Sister Madge. And so you can imagine what that did for Sister Madge when she, you know, I mean, she's by herself. You know, she's a widow woman. She lives by herself. Evidently, she's called the ambulance herself. And here they are taking her to the hospital, and they open the doors, and she's waiting to meet the doctor, and there stands Pastor. She had to know, God's thinking about me. Hallelujah. And I was able to pray for her and minister to her. And, you know, I went away feeling pretty big, like, I hear from God. Woo, hallelujah. You know, but, you know, something will bring you down to earth after a while when you miss it, you know. But yet, so, you know, don't get discouraged because you're not 100%. Just remember the times that you got it right. Amen. And, you know, so what happens when you know what, you have to grow and you learn. You know, because even when you've been serving the Lord for a while, there's still you involved and your desires, your thoughts, your will. You know, every time I go to a new vehicle lot, look around, you know what I'm saying? I can always talk myself into God's in this. Can't, just smell the leather and that, man, that's got to be God. Anything that smells this good had to come from God. But, you know, that's not necessarily true, right? So you have to learn, you discern, and even when you've been at it for years like I have, there's still times that you know, I don't know what happened there, but that wasn't God. You know, you just got to know that anything, you need to run it by the Word of God, right? See, if you're going to be successful in life, how many want to be successful in life? I'm not talking about world success. I'm talking about Bible success. Amen. You got to do three things. Number one, you have to stay full of God's Word. Because that's how you judge everything that happens in life, whether it's God or whether it's not God. Number two, you have to stay full of the Holy Spirit through prayer and worship. Number three, you have to be led by the Spirit. You're going to be successful. You've got to learn to be led by the Spirit, which means you're going to have faith in His ministry that He's with me, He lives in me, and I can depend on Him every day. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Him. He's not always loud, boisterous, dramatic. And if that's all you hear, you're going to end up getting misled. Because sometimes He leads you and you don't even realize He's doing it until it's over with. You know, years ago, Phyllis and I, actually the first house that we ever sold, we've sold a few since and lived in a lot of different houses since. But this was the first one we ever sold. You know, she was wanting to live out in the country. We lived in a subdivision. And not before we moved here, we lived in a subdivision. And she was wanting to live out in the country. And she'd been saying it for quite some time. She wants to live out in the country. She wanted to live out in the country. And I haven't done anything about it yet. But she's still saying it. And so one day I'm out with some friends. And it's a Friday. And we're just out doing some things together. And all of a sudden it dropped in me. You know, you could just think it's just me. It just dropped in me. Go home, sell your house, put your house on the market. So I thought, I told the people I was with, I said, you know what, I'm going to go home, put my house on the market. And there was a man and his wife I was with, and the lady said, you really? I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. I got home. This is the truth, folks. You're only supposed to tell true stories, right? I got home, and in my mailbox, there was a letter from a realtor in our town that said, if you need any help, basically, give me a call. I thought, that's good enough sign for me. I called her. She came over, and she listed our house on Tuesday, and it sold on Thursday. Now, here's the thing. Once you sell your house, for some reason, the people that buy it want you to get out. Go figure. But they want you out. So, you know, we're looking for a house. Now, we're looking to buy a house out in the country, and so we're looking and looking, and the realtor's looking, and we're not finding anything. And I remember one day we were together in the car, Phyllis and I, and we just grabbed hands, and we prayed, and we believed, God, you're going to lead us and direct us and guide us. And so that, you know, we prayed, that was it. And so, you know, some days later, you know, we're eating dinner, supper we called it, but I'll be more sophisticated for y'all, dinner. And so anyway, you know, after dinner, I just had this like, I think I'll go get a newspaper and just look at the newspaper again and see if there's any houses in there. You know, I've done it before. We've been doing it. You know, we've been looking everywhere. Why don't you try the internet? This is before Al Gore invented it. And so anyway, some of you get that, some of you won't. All right. Let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. But anyway, I got the newspaper. Now I'm coming home and all of a sudden I just thought, you know, see, I'm saying the Holy Ghost can lead you and you don't even know he's leading you. And I just all of a sudden I just felt like I should drive down this highway. So I make a highway go down the highway towards Patoka Lake. And I'm driving and I get to this road, it kind of veers off, you know, the highway curves around, the road veers off and it goes up a hill. And I thought, I don't think I'll just drive up there. I drove up there. When I got up, I mean, it was only like, the house was only like maybe an eighth of the mile off the highway, maybe a 16th, just right off the highway. And I get up there on top of the hill, and there is a house sitting there with a for rent sign in the yard with three people sitting out front. So I thought, I think I'll turn around and go check this out. So I pull in there, and there's three people sitting there, and I get out. And I said, I saw your houses for rent. They're real cold. They're real reserved, real cold. Like, who in the world are you? And they said, yes. We were just waiting here for some guy who was coming to see it. He hasn't shown up. I said, well, I just sold my house and, you know, could I look at it? And they looked at me like, I don't know. Who are you? I mean, they were real cold. They were real, like, you know. But I said something, and it broke the ice. I said, look, because I knew what they were thinking. We don't know you from Adam. We don't know what you're going to do to our house. Because they had just restored this house inside and out. It was a 1940s house. They had restored it inside and out. And so, you know, they're looking at me like, we don't know who you are. So I said this to them. I said, look, I will take you right now. We'll go to my house where I live, the one I just sold, and I'll show you how we keep our house. When I said that, they said, well, come on in. I walked in the house, man. I'm telling you. I stepped in the living room, and as soon as I stepped in the living room, now I heard something loud inside of me, and it said, this is your house. Wow. Awesome. So they're showing me the house, and I said, look, you know, would you sell me this house? They said, no, it's not for sale. It's been in the family for years. We're not selling it. But the Lord said, it's my house. I didn't get shook by that because I heard from God. Amen. So I went home. I got bills. I told her, I said, Phyllis, I found our house. She says, oh, I don't want to live out there. And it's out in the country. That's what you want. I don't know why she didn't want to live down that highway. But anyway, I said, well, just come and look at it, you know, because it was up on a hill, had 40 trees in the yard. Oh, yeah. And so when I got her out there, she realized this is our house. This is it. Now, to make the story shorter, 2 weeks later, the guy sold me the house. Now, here's what I'm saying. See, that was the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know it was the Holy Ghost. I thought I was just driving down a road. I thought I was just checking another run out, you know. I'm just going to go down this road. I'm just checking things. But the Lord knew. He's the one that prompted me, nudged me to get up, go get the paper. He had to give me a reason to get me out of the house. He got me out of the house. He's the one that nudged me to go down the highway. He's the one that nudged me to go down. See, He's the one that did all these things. Amen. And see, sometimes we think if it's the Lord, man, there's just this great big fireball. No, not always. Thank God there's times like that. But most times it's not that way. A lot of times you don't even know it. Hallelujah. And I could stay here until it's time for lunch and past lunch and the roast is burnt telling you stories of that happening in my life. Where sometimes I didn't even know God was leading me. I just had an impression, just a nudge, just a little something saying, go do this, go do that. Amen. You know, I've told you the story over and over again about when I was, you know, I was just in my early 20s. The Lord just nudged me to give this young man, he was a senior in high school, to give him $78. Now, that's an odd number, $78. But I just had this nudge. So, you know, I thought, well, it isn't going to hurt. I mean, you know, I imagine most people here would let me give you $78. So I just gave him $78. I went about my way, you know. And it was not until about 15 years later, I was preaching in this pastor's church, and this woman came up to me. She said, you remember me? I said, well, not really. And she used to be one of her sheep. But anyway, I didn't remember her. You know, she used to come to the church, but I didn't remember because a lot of people, I'm talking about at the Revival Center, a lot of people came to that church. So I didn't remember. But after she started telling me, I remembered her. I knew I recognized her face, but I didn't remember her name. And so she told me, she said, you remember my son? And she called his name. I said, yes, I remember him. She said, remember you gave him $78 one time? I said, yes, I do. Now that you bring it up. She said, do you know what that was for? I said, no, I have no idea. She said, he wanted a class ring that year. We didn't have the money to buy it. And it was $78. It's kind of hard to pat yourself on the back when you don't even know what you're doing. You follow what I'm saying? A lot of times the Spirit of God's leading us, we don't even know it. We're just following that something. We call it something. The Spirit of God gets called something more than anything else. Something. Well, thank God for that something. Amen. So Jesus said, now notice this, verse 16 again, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter, another helper, or one just like me. See, another one. You won't lose anything when he comes. Well, that's so good. A lot of you say, if Jesus just lived in my house, Pastor, I'd know things would go great. Wait a minute. He said, I'm going to give you another helper. Another means one just like me. See, you got to have some faith in this that he'll help you. You got to have some faith. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, there's your faith. You don't have any faith. So you got to have faith in it. Now, notice this. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, notice it, whom the world cannot receive. Now, why can't the world receive him? Because it sees him not. And what does that mean? Well, they know him not. Why can't they receive him? Because they see him not. What's that say? They don't have any faith. And have the you don't get the faith until you get born again. Right? See, what is faith? Anybody know what faith is? Substance of things hoped for. What's the other part of that verse? The evidence of things not seen. So what's our evidence of the Spirit of God in our life? It's faith. If God said it, we just believe it, whether we see it, feel it, sense it, or not. See, if you're going to be a successful Christian believer, I'm talking about, see, not all Christians are successful believers in the sense that they don't walk in all that God has for them. Now, if you're going to heaven, thank God you have a great measure of success already, right? Well, have you know, God didn't just get you saved to go to heaven. He got you saved to live down here and be a blessing. Right? And having to be a blessing, you got to have something yourself. You got to be blessed. So to be successful as a Christian, you got to learn to relate to that which is invisible and spiritual. And most of the church doesn't. They only relate to what they see. They're like Thomas. I will not believe unless I see. And see, most of the church is living that way. I will not believe unless I see. Some don't believe when they do see. Seriously, they don't believe when they do see. But still, that's the way we're going to be successful. We learn to walk by faith, not by sight. We learn to relate to that which we can't see, that which is invisible. But it is real. The Bible says that the Lord created all things by His words, right? You know, the Scripture says, you know, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It doesn't say they were made out of nothing. It says they were made out of things that do not appear, what you don't see in the natural, right? So there's a lot of things. People don't believe in the angels because I can't see them. People don't believe in demons because I can't see them. Well, listen, if the Bible says they're real, they're real. Now, there have been people that have seen them, all right? But that doesn't matter whether you see them or not. They're just as real if you don't see them. Matter of fact, Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and haven't seen. Because they've latched on to something that's going to cause them to have victory all the days of their life. They've latched on to something called faith. Amen. Are you with me? You know, and people say, well, I'm an atheist because I can't see God. A guy told me that. I went to this museum. This is before I saved. I went to this museum. It was in our town. It was, I think it was called the American Atheist Museum. And they boasted it was the largest atheist museum in all the world. I thought, well, probably because there's only two. I mean, how thrilling can it be to go to that? But I went, you know, and, you know, the guy that owned it and all, he was a nice guy. You know, we played ping pong together. He's a great ping pong player. Just smashed us young guys into the floor. But, you know, there's about two or three of us young guys went in there just to check it out, you know. And, you know, he had all the evolution, how man evolved, you know, along the way. And then he had the atheist Bible. And so I look up the atheist Bible, and it's all blank pages. There's nothing in there. And so, you know, we get to talking, and he said, I'm going to tell you guys why I'm an atheist. He said, in World War II, he said, my ship was sunk. And he said, I think most of the guys on the ship died either when it got shelled or they drowned or sharks. But he said, I was the only one left. And he said, I floated out there on a raft, I think he said, for 2 weeks. And he said, I said to God, if you're real, appear to me. And he said, nothing happened. Now, I think back and think, you're alive, buddy. You didn't get eaten by sharks. You didn't get killed like everybody else in the blast. You didn't drown. You're at least you're alive acting like a fool. I don't know. He didn't say what ship it was. But I'll tell you this. That's exactly opposite of what the Word says. The Word says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, I need some proof. Well, take a look around. Look at the earth. The fact you're sucking air. Amen. Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. We're asking Him to prove ourselves, and we're breathing His air, standing on His planet.
Amen. Come on.
You know, if I had somebody living in my house, well, can I just stay for a few weeks, you know, until I get back on my feet? And they're eating my food, sucking my air conditioning. You know, as much as they charge for it now, every time they do that, that costs money. And water, I mean, my gosh, it's almost like it's liquid gold now. My water bill used to be $12 a month. The last one I got was about $200. I wash my hair a lot. What's so funny? Anyway, so if they're there for a few days and they're eating my food and I'm taking care of them and they say, prove to me you're the owner of this house. I'm saying, get out. See, what we're on God's earth. We're sucking His air. We're eating His food. We're drinking His water. We're slaughtering His cows so we can have T-bones. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then we ask Him to prove Himself? No, He said you have faith. I'm not proving anything. I've already proved it. That's what Paul said in Romans. You can look at the creation and see the Godhead. And if that's not good enough for you, then just be nice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's just the way I see that anyway. All right. Now notice this. Verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They can't have any faith for his ministry because the world walks by sight. And knoweth him, and neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. I will not leave you, the King James says, comfortless. I'll come to you. That word comfortless means I won't leave you orphans. Now let's go to one last scripture. Did you get something today? This is it. Mark chapter 6. This is where we'll close out. But you know, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. I said, He wants to move in our lives. And we can stay. Now the good thing about Paul said this, in talking to the church at Ephesus, we won't read the scripture, but Paul said that we could be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. How many know that if you could be filled, you could be half filled? I was preaching for Pastor Jerry one time and Miss Kay, Pastor Kay. I was preaching for them at their church one time. And after the meeting, Pastor Jerry said, well, I want to take you, let's go to the gas station. I want to take you and fill your vehicle up with gas. You know what I'm saying? And I said, no, you don't have to do that. But, you know, they took good care of you. And so I said, you don't have to do that. No, I want to do that. So he pumps the gas in. Next thing I know, it's coming out on the ground. He got her full. He was intending on getting full. I said, whoa, that's full. That's full. Well, but guess what? That gas, I'm not still running on that same tank of gas. It got used up. See, you can be filled with the Spirit today, but are you staying full of the Spirit? See, that's what you read about in Acts. You find the disciples that were there on the day of Pentecost. There's places it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. It wasn't like they were rebaptized in the Holy Ghost, but that power. See, someone asked, I think it was John Wesley, why do you testify to so many infillings of the Spirit? He said, it's easy. I leak. Life causes you to leak. You know what I'm saying? You know, your neighbor throws the beer cans over in your yard, and you throw them back up. You leaked. You leaked. See, there's leaking, right? There's things that take place. Now, we're not prophesying leaking, but it happens. That's what the Bible says. And really, when you read it in the Greek, it says, be being filled with the Spirit, a continual being filled. I learned that about the renewing of the mind. You have to keep your mind renewed. Right. Amen. You have to keep it renewed. So, how do you do it? Well, Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always unto God for all things in the name of the Father. Of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is that saying? Well, to me it's saying keep a faith-filled atmosphere about you. That isn't always easy, is it? Don't lie to me. It's not always easy. You have to work at that. You don't always feel like doing it. It's not always easy. It's not always, you know, but it produces great results. You know, when we have a service like today, you enter in, instead of thinking about, you know, where we're going to eat at after pastor gets done with his long sermon. Hope you're not thinking that way. But anyway, how many understand? See, you can create this faith-filled atmosphere. Now, go here to Mark. I've gone long enough. Mark chapter 6, go there. Verse number 1, it says, and when he went, that's Jesus we're talking about here. When Jesus went out from there, he came to his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not his... So they recognized that he did some powerful things. So they realized that. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him, or they stumbled because of him. He didn't fit the package that they thought he should fit. I mean, if he's going to have all these miracles and signs and wonders, he's going to be a prophet. He can't be from our hometown. We can't know his brothers and his sisters. How many know every... See, what happened here? They began to just look at the man instead of the anointing that was on the man. You understand that? See, there's a huge difference between me, the man, and me, the anointed pastor. Huge difference. Are you with me? Amen. See, I'm a pastor. I'm anointed as a pastor, but I'm not. But I'm also a man that puts his pants on the same way you do. But if you just look at the man, you're not going to get any of the anointing of the pastor's office. See, I remember. One person in the church one time, the first time they saw me in blue jeans, they like to fell over. It's like, my gosh. They think that I go to bed and my jammies have ties on them. See what I'm saying? See, I remember I was walking down the street, saw them in a laundromat, And I thought, hey, that's so-and-so. And I just walked in there and said, and they're like, this can be pastor. He's got jeans on. I wear sweatpants. And listen to me. Yeah, when I come to the house of the Lord, I'm going to his house. Right? I'm going to meet with him. So I dress up for him.
That's right. Amen.
I don't dress up for Walmart. Some people really don't dress up for Walmart. I mean, my gosh, what are you doing out in public? I dress up somewhat for Walmart. Let's just clarify that. I don't go there in my jammies and house shoes like some people do. Lazy outfit. Whenever I see that, I know your life is crashed. If you don't have enough, man, on the ball to even put some jeans on to go to Walmart, then you ain't got much going on in life for sure. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can title this message, How to Dress at Walmart. It's not what it's about. It's just about the attitude, see.
Yeah.
It's about there's some reason why you act that way. Now, yes, there's occasionally when, I was in a hurry and I wanted to go to the post office, but it was closed. I went in my flip-flops and cut off shorts, I take like sweats and cut them off and make them into shorts because they're comfy. But I'll look when I get out of the vehicle, make sure there's nobody from church anywhere near around. And I'll dash in there. I don't do that very often, but that has happened, I got to admit. But I don't go into Walmart and walk around and prance around that way. I'm going to the post office when it's closed to go to the mailbox and beat it in and beat it out. Glory to God. I hope you got a picture of that, right? Amen. Now, verse 4, let's close out. Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor, but in his own country, and in his own kin, and in his own house. Now, he could be. It's not that he can't be. It's just that they won't allow it. Because, well, we know him. We know him. How could he be anointed? We know him. Well, you're just looking at the wrong side. Paul said, we don't know any man after the flesh. Look at the anointing. Now, notice this, verse 5. Notice this now. Come on. Look at this. He could there. do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. So what's that tell you? The anointing wouldn't work. The Holy Spirit's ministry wasn't working full force here. Now, how did Jesus do the works that he did? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So how did he do the works? With the Holy Ghost power. So how come he couldn't do any work, mighty work here? There wasn't any Holy Ghost power being manifested. Now why? Well, it tells us, verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief and went around about the villages teaching. So what stopped the Holy Spirit from moving here in Jesus' hometown? Well, their familiarity with Jesus bred unbelief.
Right.
I've seen that as a... See, I'm not only been blessed to be your pastor, but I've traveled. I preach in different churches. I don't as much as I used to. And certainly didn't go as much last year, you know, with all that pandemic thing going on. But, you know, I used to have all kinds of meetings outside the church, and I still have them, but not as regular as used to. But anyway, here's the thing. There are times I go into churches, and they think that you're the best thing since sliced bread.
Amen.
And you know what I'm saying? I don't mean that in an arrogant sense, but I just mean they think you've really got something on you, something more than pastor. No, not really. It's just that you're familiar with pastor. And now pastor's anointing that's on him is not working unless he goes somewhere else, like it should. But you go in there, man, you'll have a meeting. My gosh. I can remember when I was working with Brother Eddie, and he was the senior pastor and I was his associate pastor. We'd have people come in and preach, and they'd preach something, and the people just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, that was so good. That was so rich. That so changed my life. And he would get so frustrated. He'd say to me, we've been preaching on that for 6 months. So you just learn as a pastor. And see, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying this is what causes us to lose the anointing. Fred Price used to say to his church, you know, he had, you know, midweek service, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And how many ever watched Fred Price? You know, he's in heaven. What a great man of God. But he had a way of saying things that you just didn't misunderstand him. You didn't go to his church if you had thin skin. And Fred, Dr. Price said one Sunday morning, he's preaching, he goes, now we have service tonight. He said, but most of you won't be back because you've done made up your mind. You don't need anything I have to say. What happened? They're familiar. Yeah. Well, he'll always be there. Well, he's not now. He's in heaven. And I'll bet you some of those people wish they'd have paid attention while he was there. See, that's what happened with Jesus, familiarity. Amen. Did you get something today? Woo, thank God for the Word of God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.